Good morning. Unknown to many, but much feared by the hunting and shooting fraternity, is the Labour Manifesto proposal that it will curtail hunting and shooting when it next has occasion to do so. Presumably there'll be some qualifications to this general proposal, and certain kinds of shooting will be permitted for certain kinds of people. But, in principle, the Labour Party has declared itself against the kind of hunting and shooting that goes on today. As can be imagined, this plan has caused a certain fluttering in certain kinds of dovecot. However much real doves living in real dovecots should be delighted with the news. In order to suggest to the Labour Party, and possibly a future Labour government, that its proposal is unjust, unwelcome and plain wrong, a report is being prepared which will demonstrate the extent of the hunting and shooting business. To be published in the autumn of 1982, it'll point out how many people are involved in this particular activity, how many livelihoods would be lost if it were to be banned, how many cartridge makers would suffer, how many gamekeepers, and how much foreign revenue would no longer come our way if foreign gentry no longer paid through their foreign noses for the privilege of killing our deer, our grouse, our pheasants, and so on. Those who are compiling the report believe that it will be a revelation to the Labour Party and may divert them from their chosen path. There has never before been such a report, and its facts will presumably be a revelation to all of us. Will it, for example, will it tell us that those old-time shoots where captive-born and semi-tame birds were driven by the peasantry over the heads of rich but stationary sportsmen? Will it say that this old-time traditional picture is a thing of the past? Well, I've been doing some inquiring of late, and find that captive-born and semi-tame birds are being driven by the peasantry over the heads of rich but stationary sportsmen. From the point of view of today's pheasants, grouse, deer, and so on, they'd find it difficult to believe that this is a new era. The flak still comes their way, and although the people down below are no longer dressed like Edward VII, the old human habit of shooting at them is still very much the same. They can't read the brochures advertising the sporting lets in which they are involved, but the subsequent results must feel no different. The shoot comprises some 3,600 acres, says one recent ad. There are three full-time keepers employed, and a steady rearing program has been maintained over many years. On the 2 days offered, it would be expected to shoot at least 700 pheasants per day. The rent for these 2 days would be £10,800. If an extra day is required, that would be £3,450. Assuming, therefore, that the number of birds shot on that estate measures up to the number promised, which is 1,900 for 3 days, this means that the rental for killing the birds is about £7 each. Well, that particular brochure referred to November 1978 and to Lord Mountbatten's estate at Broadlands in Hampshire, but prices have risen substantially since then. The current cost of rearing one pheasant is £10, and so the estate owner, if he wishes to make a profit, must charge rather more than that. If 1,900 birds are now to be gunned down in 3 days, the price for 3 days' fun must be substantially more than £19,000. The Broadlands invitation was for 8 people, or guns as they're called. So the cost then to each gun for each of the 2 prime days was £675 a day. The figure must now be nearer £1,000 a day for the big shoots in the country. And that is an awful lot of money for one day's pleasure, quite apart from all the ancillary expenses, the actual weapons, the tipping, the cartridges, and so forth. In short, Edward VII would not feel so greatly out of place today, and might not feel that times have changed as the birds fly over, are shot, and are then laid out in their hundreds on the ground. Which is presumably one reason why the Labour Party is against the perpetuation of an activity that smacks so much of the old days, that is for the ultra-privileged, that is plainly for the minority. So part of the counter-attack to be printed in the report of autumn 1982 is to show that hunting and shooting are the pastimes of hundreds of thousands, rather than the few. Currently, for example, there are 840,000 shotgun license holders in England and Wales, and more than one gun may be on each license as these are issued to individuals rather than weapons. Therefore, about 1 million licenses in the entire United Kingdom does mean that a great number of people do like killing things in this fashion. Very few guns are owned just for the pleasure of shooting at inanimate objects, and the Clay Pigeon Shooting Association considers that only 3% of its members are what they call purist, which means that they only shoot clay pigeons. Another surprising figure, at least it's surprising to me, is that 168,000 licenses are currently in existence in England and Wales for rifles and pistols. A far higher proportion of these must be used for shooting at targets already dead, so to speak, but no one could tell me just how many are used for shooting at animals. Just as no one yet knows how many pheasants, partridges, grouse, hares, rabbits, pigeons, ducks, geese, and doubtless almost anything else that moves is shot in any year. But judging by such facts as do exist, we do have tremendous enthusiasm for killing animals, as all those rifles and shotguns indicate. We export 2 million dead wood pigeons every year, and those birds are all shot. We have 4,000 full-time gamekeepers in the country, whose prime task is to adjust nature so that there are more animals of the kind we like to kill. We bemoan the fact that pesticides in killing the grubs that young partridges love to eat have damaged the partridge population, a damage we preferred to inflict ourselves, and more straightforwardly. Rabbits used to consume 50 million pounds worth of food before myxomatosis hit them in the early 1950s, and when a pound's worth was worth a pound. But rabbits are still relatively thin on the ground. So, is there rejoicing that this scourge has been diminished? Yes, there is, but there's also considerable regret that rabbits are not around to be killed by guns as they used to be. My principal surprise, steadily mounting during this inquiry, is that we as a people are so ready to kill. Given a whisper of a reason for doing so, we destroy badgers, otters, birds of prey, alleged vermin such as crows, magpies, jays. We shoot the invaders such as squirrels and coypu. We shoot the most beautiful such as red deer, roe deer, seeker and fallow. We shoot those we hatch to shoot and those who've done their breeding naturally. We shoot the geese who fly here for the winter, the seals who take some minute fraction of the fish we take, the snipe, woodcock and black game who are such rarities. When did you last see one? We shoot so much that I begin to be more surprised that we don't kill everything. Why aren't there blackbird shoots and thrush drives? And why do we make such a fuss about Italians and Greeks destroying songbirds in their thousands when we destroy practically everything else? There is an argument that we kill for the pot, but we kill creatures quite unsuited by taste and texture for any pot. I think the wish to kill comes first these days, and not the wish to supplement the daily fare. What seems odder still, to my mind, is that conservationists are often leading the pack in killing animals. Top representatives of the conservation movement are often at the forefront of those who wish to shoot. And they don't just kill a few homegrown pheasants, but some of the most fantastic mammals, as in Africa. There are people who, like Ernest Hemingway, are so impressed by the sight of a great kudu that they have to kill it as a memento of that occasion. But I would never have called him a conservationist, nor would have expected him to act like one. So how is it, I wonder, that there are so many people who will conserve like anything, do all they can for wildlife, and then kill a slice of it, say, every other Saturday? Farmers and landowners are often Januses in this way. They'll leave a piece of woodland or some hedgerow so that nature may thrive, and then they will kill some of that nature they've helped to exist. And they give so many different reasons for the killing that they do. This animal destroys crops. This one's good to eat. This one is just good sport. Or this one has to be killed for its own good, culled, as the saying goes, so that its numbers do not increase beyond some alleged optimum. In short, as so many kinds of creature are killed for so many different kinds of reason, and as are all those shotguns and rifles in existence, and as people are prepared to pay up to £1,000 a day for the privilege of bringing down driven birds. I'm quite prepared to believe, as the autumnal report of 1982 will certainly be pointing out, that hunting and shooting are very big business. Some 60,000 people have bothered to join the British Association for Shooting and Conservation, the organisation that was known until quite recently as the Wildfowlers Association of Great Britain and Ireland, or WAGBI. The change of name is interesting, and bracketing shooting with conservation in the same title is presumably a sound move, although not everyone can comprehend what one has to do with the other. There's no talk of banning fishing in the Labour manifesto. Perhaps with its 3 million devotees, it's considered more the lot of the common man than is hunting or shooting. But the British Shooting Sports Council has been discovering that shooting is also practiced by many a common man. Only 13% of those who shoot are said to be employers and managers, and the remainder are everyone else, such as the 35% who are skilled manual workers. So Edward VII mightn't feel at ease everywhere today, although he could certainly find sufficient estates of the traditional sort to keep him happy. So what would happen if the current slaughter was forbidden or just curtailed by some future legislation? One suggestion, made by guess who, is that the predators, such as magpies and jays, currently kept down by gamekeepers, would have a field day, multiply in consequence, and therefore reduce not only the birds which used to be shot, but also songbirds as well. Another suggestion, also made by guess which lobby, is that farmers would no longer preserve the odd coppice, the scrubland and hedgerow that currently provide shelter and breeding space not only for animals that are shot, but others as well. This suggestion implies that such regions of naturalness would be destroyed and turned into fields or some other form of profit, if shooting were to go. Yet another suggestion is that wood pigeons and rabbits, for example, would soon become a major pest and would have to be destroyed governmentally if the farmers were prevented from doing so themselves. At present, the farmers do it for free, out of their own pockets, but the governmental slaughterers would be yet another drain on the taxpayer. Which animals would survive best if shooting were banned is anyone's guess. Ecology is like that. If jays and magpies did initially increase in population, they wouldn't necessarily stay that way. A disease might get at them. They themselves might be predated far more frequently. Their prey might change its habits. There might even be more songbirds as a result. Who knows? And who knows what change might happen to humans who could no longer shoot and kill as they do today so voraciously. But in the meantime, I have two small and prior wishes. I would like the word culling to go, because just as spades had better be called spades, killing is what is meant. And I'd like the word sport never again to be used in the context of hunting and shooting. It is sporting to compete, but against an animal and with a gun? The British loathe bullfighting, but at least the bull gets to kill a matador from time to time. Would that a pheasant or a rabbit could do something of the sort, say 100 times a year? Then there might be no need to ban or curtail this particular activity. It might just fade away. Goodbye.